Dave Reske, CEO of NowSpeed Marketing, and welcome to this edition of In the Now, where we focus on uncovering the myths and misunderstandings of marketing and leadership with some of the world's most interesting people. And my guest today is Mark Badreau. Mark is a fractional chief marketing officer who does strategic work for a handful of companies at a time that need strategic marketing but don't want the expense and uncertainty that comes with hiring a full-time CMO. He's been doing this for over 14 years, and I'm excited, Mark, about your contribution to the show today and learning about some of your experiences in this conversation. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Dave, for having me.
Do you have any idea how many companies you've worked for in 14 years? That sounds like an amazing amount of experience you've had with all of those.
Well over 100. I mean, if you factor in the law firms, medical practices, et cetera, I mean, it's well over 100.
That's so cool. The amount of experience and learning from all those situations and people, it's intense. Mm-hmm. Honor that you took the time to join me in this conversation and speak with our listeners today. So thank you. As you know, I like to start these conversations with what I call a Mythbuster question. And you and I have been chatting about ChatGPT and AI, and I think the whole world has been talking about this. And the myth I want to explore with you is that ChatGPT and AI has the capability to replace a marketing department. True or not true? What do you think?
Well, yes. And that's what we discussed, that it is true. ChatGPT, AI, Bard could replace your marketing department. And then I guess the secondary question is, okay, well, what happens once ChatGPT replaces the marketing department? And it's interesting because, and we obviously discussed this, a very well-known cosmetic surgery practice in the East Coast, one of the doctors actually asked me this last Thursday in a meeting. And I said the same thing. Oh, yeah, absolutely. ChatGPT, AI, all of those things can replace the marketing department. And they got, boy, you could tell they were getting excited. They were like, they were mentally scratching that line item out of the budget and putting that towards the bottom line. And then I went on to explain to them, and here's what will happen when ChatGPT replaces 100% your marketing department. Your marketing is going to hit the skids in a horrible, horrible way, because the myth is that ChatGPT can just take it all, and it can't, because number one, you will always have to have a human typing in the prompt. Now, you could get a grad student to do that and maybe give them some ideas, but garbage in, garbage out. It is a human-like artificial intelligence, but it's not a being that has understanding and consciousness. So it generates responses based on patterns and correlations in the training data rather than the true comprehension. ChatGPT also doesn't know everything. It's trained on a tremendous amount of data, but there's a knowledge cutoff date, and it also has difficulty accessing real-time information. So it's not going to be able to factor in most of the time something you might have said on a post yesterday, or a change you made on the website a week ago, or something you were discussing in your own podcast a week ago, a month ago. It has certain biases. It learns from the data it's trained on. So if that has societal prejudices or any of those, I understand efforts are made to mitigate those biases, but I have seen firsthand, because I've used it, it's a tool, some biases in some of these things. It also doesn't understand context. So you might be asking a question, and the cosmetic or the medical fields is a great example. You might be asking a question that internally you all know and you're looking for an answer, but it doesn't get the context of that related to you. It's also not infallible, and we were laughing a little bit earlier when I'm goofing off. I like to mess with things, and sometimes I'll mess with ChatGPT, copy that, and send it to people and see what they think. So the myth that or the belief that Chat GPT, Bard, AI, whatever can replace your marketing department. Yes, they can. But the result will be absolutely disastrous. And I think one of the things I'm seeing today, and I'm seeing a lot of it, is a lot of people, legitimate marketing people, are getting lazy. I've seen two examples as recent in the past month, because I was asked to comment on them, where I could clearly tell that the group was using ChatGPT because the evidence was that the previous 6 months, 8 months, 1 year, they had this really good voice going. You could feel the voice. And then all of a sudden it was like you flipped a switch and it went into this kind of dry, very ChatGPT, no context, no consciousness type of posting. And it was just obvious. And they seemed comfortable yet uncomfortable with it. And the question was asked, well, what do we do? You use the thing as a tool. It can stimulate ideas. You know, do you feel like you're stuck? Let's put it in the ChatGPT and look for six pain points of insert something here, and then take that information and put our voice on it, make it ours. I think that's the myth bust, is that will ChatGPT be part of our future as marketers? Absolutely. Before ChatGPT, there were different, you could buy particular programs that would help you stimulate ideas, stoke the fire, if you will. And that, I think that's how ChatGPT needs to be looked at. I think it's really in it. I think ChatGPT, Bard in particular, I don't know if you've used Bard, but Bard in particular, they seem to have rushed it out. So it's very clunky. It's not a competitor. I think I will say, with the way searches become so monetized, and when we're searching for something, we're typically looking for an answer and not a sponsored ad. ChatGPT, when you're in essence using a type of search in it, seems to be very effective, because typically when I'm searching for a specific answer or a very quick hit on the research. You know, tell me what, you know, page, book, volume, whatever to go to. I think ChatGPT or AI is going to impact search conservatively over the next 2 to 4 years and really alter it. Bing has already integrated ChatGPT into their search. Hmm. I know that's still somewhat in beta, but I think that's where the real answer is, you know, search and how that's ultimately going to work, and SEO and, you know, those type things and how that affects marketing. That's kind of a long-winded answer.
Yeah, no, super, super helpful. We're going to parse through a few of those in our conversation. But so you're saying it's really not going to replace your department, but it really can be an effective tool. And you're thinking that the kind of the most effective places it can be a tool for you is really, almost to paraphrase what you said, it almost becomes more like a search assistant. More like if we each had a graduate research assistant and you could send them off to do mm-hmm. these projects, it kind of gets that done faster. And maybe a writing assistant feels like getting mm-hmm. you know, have a writing assistant. Once you get some, you know, ideas, it kind of helps you develop those ideas and get some base writing done. That's kind of where I've seen it be more effective. But, you know, if it's accelerating those pieces of the puzzle, does it mean that marketers are going to be starting to put out more content faster? And, you know, I've almost seen the, you know, the last 5 years, content marketing is obviously a huge part of what a lot of marketers are doing, B2B and B2C. And does this kind of accelerate the amount of content and accelerate the competition for the amount of content you have to put out? Whereas once you were fine putting out a blog a month, you know, your competitors are putting out a blog a week. Now you can put up a blog mm-hmm. a day. Now you got to put out 4 or 5 blogs a day. Are we kind of going up this this arms race of content with our competitors mm-hmm. because it's easier and cheaper to create content? Or is that a relevant And you should just have a good content plan and follow your plan anyway, no matter if it's cheaper to create content now. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, it's my answer is yes to everything you said. You know, are we going to have an arms race? We're already in the arms race. However, quality over quantity will always win. You and I have seen it. It's proven. It's a scientific fact. If you're putting out, like you said, and you gave the example of, you know, your competitors are, you know, putting out, they're putting out one blog post a week and we're only doing one a month. Yes. Number one, the SEO ranking is not there. They're not getting anything out of that. Number two, they're crap. It's junk. It's ChatGPT. If you're putting out quality material where you become I'm not telling you or telling anybody anything they don't know, you become the expert and the go-to person, you know, for a blog post, for those comments, for whatever. I have particular people where whatever they put out, Mike Bloomfield in New York in regards to Google, I read it because he's the guy. And it's rare that he puts things out. There are other people who are putting out, like you say, they're in the arms race. So quality will always win over quantity. Simple as that, whether it's today or 10 years from today.
Well, with a tool like ChatGPT as a marketer, is there a way to kind of leverage that kind of tool to improve the quality of what you're doing? And how are you kind of... One of the things you talked about was research. Now we can research things faster, maybe more thoroughly. Is there a way to kind of get better quality through the AI? And, you know, or is it kind of mutually exclusive, you know, that we're stuck with low quality in AI and humans can do quality?
Right. I think that depends on the individual. You know, as we're talking here, I remember years ago, going to a Radio Shack when computers first came out. And there was a program that they had, and obviously this would be, you know, a black screen and and it's just some, you know, some typing that comes up. And it was a type of AI situation where you would ask the computer a question, the computer would, you know, print out an answer, and you would have to go back and forth. You would literally almost have to engage because the answer was forcing you to think. And that's how that little computer program worked, as simple as it was. What's, in my opinion, it's the same with ChatGPT. If you can go back and forth, and this thing is stimulating you to see, okay, well, here's what they say the six pain points are in insert industry here. Is that right? You know, enhance number three and go back and forth until you get what you're looking for, and let the piece, ChatGPT, use you and you use it to come up with a third entity, a greater research, a greater understanding, and think on those type paths where you come up with the ultimate answer, that it's pushing you to, I don't agree with that, you know, and go back and forth, very similar to the way that silly little Radio Shack program worked years ago. You're asking a question, it's giving you an answer. Okay, well, let's engage. Let's talk. I think that's one of the solutions I've found. And I've used those kinds of prompts, you know, what are six pain points in the, you know, BPO industry or, you know, the construction industry, and thought, well, not here or wherever you are. So all of those things need to be, I believe, in a back and forth and, you know, stimulate your mind. That's what we're selling as marketers, is our mind. Okay. Well, let's stimulate that. Let's put the high test in and, you know, let's get gone.
That's a really cool way to think about it, because it comes back to almost like treating it like that smart graduate student research assistant, but in a faster way. So I think what you're saying is that it makes the smart marketer smarter because you're able to iterate, learn, get through the clutter, find out what's really happening, and come up with new ideas faster and faster. So if you're smart, and it makes you better. If you're a lazy marketer, it makes things right. Work. It's like, hey, right. I have to write a blog post today. I'll just put it on ChatGPT and I'll create this crappy thing. I'll get my assignment done, but that'll be worse. So maybe, you know, let me just shift the conversation slightly and ask you, as a CMO, does this empower CMOs more? Because in many ways, as a CMO, you often have to work through staffs of people, right? You have to work through
That's
many
correct, yeah.
Delegate work. And that can be challenging because people get things done at their own pace, and you know, you have to bring people along. Does this give the CMO a new tool to kind of iterate and learn faster, independent of their staff? Or is it really something that everybody should be using?
Yeah, once again, yes is the answer. And I think it goes to what you said earlier about some staff are lazy, some CMOs are lazy. They're just texting it in, you know. Unfortunately, I see that a lot. If you're constantly, and I think that's one of the things with me, I'm a student of the game. I'm interested in, okay, what's new? What does this say? What's going on? So it would really depend upon you, and it would enhance, if you're using it properly or the way we're suggesting. Yes, it would constantly keep you up on your game, enhance the speed and the efficiency in which you work. Once again, using it as a tool to enhance not only the environment, the staff, et cetera, but your mind, and then that's going to directly affect the environment, the staff, et cetera, and filter down. So it really depends upon the person, but I suggest, yes, everyone, if you are not using ChatGPT, Bard, and other forms of AI, you better get on it and at least have a cursory understanding of how it works, and then try to build on that each day, each week, each month, each quarter, and analyze the results. Take a look at, was this worth our time? And I think what you'll find is the answer yes to the question.
Yeah, I love that way of thinking about it. I've almost been thinking about ChatGPT, and we're using it actually to create some new service offerings for our agency and mm-hmm. additional productivity. But I've been thinking about it as a tool for productivity. And I think what you're saying is, maybe that's okay, but what you're saying is that it's also a tool for creative and strategic thinking that can enable you to learn faster and get more information to make better decisions if you're using it properly. So one of the things I like to do as a practice is spend time thinking. So my thinking time, I get some time by myself, I have a journal, I use notes,
yeah.
I turn off email and electronic stuff, and I think, and I, you know, and I kind of write in my journal and I kind of plan and stuff. But maybe there's a role for ChatGPT in my thinking time that makes it iterative and gets me in challenge, think, you know, faster to learn some things. Do you think mm-hmm. that's true, or do you think that's kind of going off the deep end?
No, that's, I mean, we all remember the scenes in 2001, A Space Odyssey, where I forgot the spaceman's name, but he's talking to Hal.
Dave. It was Dave.
Was it Dave?
Okay. It was Dave, yeah.
Now I know.
Yeah.
And so Hal is, you know, to me, ChatGPT reminds me of Hal, because Hal was asking a lot of questions, or he was making a statement. I can't do that, Dave. We can't do that right now. And so, yes, if that could be part of your meditative, you know, brainstorming session, and it would help, absolutely. Use all of the tools. I feel so just grateful that I get to be alive today. That it's not 1946, it's not 1966, it's not 26, 18, it's today, And we have all this amazing stuff available to us. Absolutely. I would strongly encourage you to maybe as you're journaling, put that, what do you think of this, Hal? And put that in Chat GPT and get some feedback, because we always say we're always at least once a month, we're having that meeting where somebody goes, we never thought of that. Okay, well, let's start thinking of that. Like now.
Yeah, I think that's super powerful, and I'm definitely going to incorporate that idea into some of my thinking. As a CMO, how do you think about introducing this tool into a marketing department? What should CMOs be thinking about in telling their teams to do? Is this, hey, go try it, just do it? Do we set up a training course? Do we mandate its use in certain situations? Do we eliminate some positions and GPT report? How do you think about it from a strategic, operational, running a marketing department at this moment in time? And I realize it could change instantly, but how do you think about teaching or enabling or letting your teams use a tool like this?
And I have had to think about it. And I strongly encourage about everybody that is on the precipice of doing this, think it through. Because obviously we have wide and varied staff. Sometimes they're small, sometimes it's 31 people, 68, 100, we don't know. What I do know is that people are people. And if someone is lazy, which we've all worked with some lazy people, they're going to use this in a very lazy way. And that needs to be managed. And we also have people who are, they're go-getters and they get it done and they might take it to the extreme. And so there has to be a happy medium. I would suggest a strategy session to understand, you know, what Chat GPT is, Bard, AI, et cetera, how it can help us and how we're going to use it. Now, I know a lot of universities are having difficulty where, you know, oh, students are just doing their work through Chat GPT. Whether it's a university or a corporation that's on University Avenue, the same thing can happen. It can lend itself towards, oh, I'll just put it in Chat GPT and copy and paste. I will say, and obviously you and I are a little bit older, we've had, you know, years of experience. There is a younger set that I'm finding they like to copy and paste things, and they're okay with that. And in some cases, that works. It's actually worked for me a lot lately because a younger set of media people will copy and paste any press release I give them, which is all right. If that's my group, I'm not that comfortable with copy and paste. And I think ChatGPT lends itself to copy and paste and being okay with that. Well, ChatGPT spit it out and it looks good. Sentence structure is good. Let's go with that. So there has to be an understanding unto the organization, you know, more much like a university. What comfort level do we have when we're looking for results? Our marketing is going to generate, you know, X, whatever the X is for you. How will this Chat GPT item and its products that it delivers affect our results? And unless there's some sort of strategic thing, like I say, think it through. Let's, you know, we never thought of this. Okay, well, let's start thinking of these things. How is this going to affect us and how are we going to get these results? I think it's something that's going to take, not a thing, it's something that everybody should look at very seriously and come up with a strategic, you know, at least an outline and some kind of checks and balances so you don't make the go-getter lazy. Because it's prone to that too, where the go-getter is like, oh, wow, this is a fantastic time saver. Now, all I have to do is put it in here, copy and paste, and I'm done for the day. That's, well, that kind of defeats the purpose that you're not done for the day what you just copy and pasted is very banal and, you know, pedestrian. That's not what we do.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a long-winded answer to the strategy.
I think strategy and planning will become so much more important in the ChatGPT world. You know, where you might have thought as a marketer that your job was to create this content and push it out through email or send out this newsletter or get these posts out on video, or, you know, and now the opportunity to kind of be more strategic in the voice that you're creating and how you think about competition, the key messages, the amount of content, the varied content. If it does take us less time to create the content, then it feels like being more strategic about what we're going to be creating, why we're going to be creating the voice. I almost could see a role for almost like a ChatGPT QA person or a writer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, before anything goes out, we put it through our own human voice review. I don't know. It feels like there's going to be changes in marketing departments to be maybe more strategic, more planful, more thoughtful about the voice. I don't know. Are you starting to see those kind of conversations happen in your experience in your firms you're working with?
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Where it's AI abuse, in my opinion, where years ago, in the 60s and 70s, when musicians would make records, there would sometimes be a pressure on them to, we need a hit and the rest of it's filler. Let's go and let's get these records out. In the late 70s into probably the early 90s, artists began to focus in on making great records, great LPs, no filler. That phrase, no filler, actually came about in the mid-70s in the musical industry. I'm seeing something very similar today, where we need one hit, the rest of it's filler. Let's get this record out. And so people are starting to pump stuff out that's filler. And I do hear people bemoaning, you know, oh, it takes me so long to do a post and I wrestle with it and we're working on the website and we got this new email coming. I understand that. It's the cowboy's life is the life we lead. This is the profession we've chosen, and it's not going to be easy, particularly in this day and age. So you have to put more effort into it. And so I agree with you, sort of an IG inspector of the marketing department and what crap they're putting out again, the filler, and some sort of a program to manage that, you know, oversight, what do you think, you know, good interactions with everybody. I think that's the only solution, because the abuse factor of ChatGPT is LinkedIn is now, well, obviously Microsoft owns LinkedIn. They're now putting a ChatGPT element into posts. And so you're starting to see some of those people that are beta users, filler. They're putting in filler. You need to continue to make hits, not filler. And that needs to be examined. Maybe a record company manager needs to be found, somebody from the 70s. I guess what they'd be in their 80s now. So that's not going to happen. But something like that.
I love that. Each piece of content, each post needs to have the powerful voice. You know, so funny. I was thinking about the great marketing companies of our age and the voice they've had. I think of companies like Nike. I think of companies like Apple. We all admire, and you know, there's the companies that just whenever they put out something, you know, it's in their voice, you know what that's about. And many companies don't do that. They just think about content, or they think about if they get, they're not strategic enough or creative enough to think about that voice. And I think it feels like this is going to challenge us all to be much more unique, because there'll be so much more ordinary coming out. So the opportunity to be unique might be a huge differentiator now in a world of AI content gone wild, right?
Right. Well, and the flip side to that is we also stand in the middle of potentially going in the other direction. I listened to an interview on NPR, whatever it was, a couple months ago, and they were talking about movies and the creation of movies in the past 5 to 8 years, particularly post-pandemic, and that a lot of it's rehash and it's, you know, remakes and all of this, and there's no creativity. We could move into a situation where the Apples and the Nikes are over and ChatGPT mediocrity takes over and everybody's okay with it. But that becomes the norm. That's my concern, that we move to this acceptable level of mediocrity in marketing because everybody else is doing it. You don't have to be a Nike or an Apple anymore because nobody else is. And you know, does that become the new norm? And even if you are the new Apple or new Nike in the voice, it's not going to matter because nobody's going to enjoy that anymore. We're going to enjoy this high level of mediocrity. I don't know. It's definitely a concern of mine.
I have a feeling, Mark, as long as you have something to say about it, it's not going to happen on your watch.
Yes. There will be trouble.
That's right. Well, this was a great conversation, Mark. I really appreciate you taking the time about AI and wrestling with these concepts. Be interesting for us to come back in 6 months or 12 months and revisit these to see how it all changes, or will it?
Right.
Which way will it go? So I really appreciate you taking the time to talk today. If any of our listeners want to contact you and talk more about these topics or learn more about your role as a CMO, how would they get in touch with you?
Find me on LinkedIn, Mark A. Boudreau. Everyone always says, you know, where's your website? Where's your email? Where's your newsletter? Where's your social media? I don't have time for that. I'm working for people. I'm working on their social media, their website, their newsletter. Find me on LinkedIn. I respond to everybody.
Perfect. Thank you, Mark. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Sure.